In Chapter 8, we are going to talk about sourcing of merchandise. Let us first look at the learning objectives. We need to understand the process of sourcing and different types of suppliers, learn the method for identifying and evaluating these suppliers before we start sourcing from them, managing the vendors and evaluating their performance. This is required so that we know how they are performing and whether we should continue sourcing from them or not. To get an overview of the relationships between retailers and suppliers, how do we define sourcing? We know that retailers usually do not produce the merchandise that they are selling. Retailers buy merchandise from a wide variety of sources and then sell them to a target customer under one roof. Sourcing is a function wherein the retailer identifies, develops, and manages resources for manufacturing and supply of products. The cost of the product depends on the correct sourcing. If the cost of sourcing is higher, automatically the selling price of the product will be higher. Today, sourcing is increasingly global. Today, a retailer could be sourcing either a component or the raw material or the entire product from different countries. The process of sourcing is said to be cyclical in nature. We will see this further in the subsequent slides. Why cyclical? Let us first understand the steps of the sourcing process. Firstly, we need to identify the sources of supply. Who are the various potential suppliers for my product category? Where are they located? How far is that region? Is it easy to source? Is it easy to transport the product? What is the cost of transporting, etc.? The next step is to contact these various suppliers, evaluate them, and select them. After which, you have to negotiate with the suppliers. Negotiate in terms of not only prices, but also other terms and conditions of this delivery timelines, and many other aspects. This is followed by placing the purchase order with the supplier or vendor. We need to also establish vendor relations. Today, it is very important that a retailer maintains a good, friendly, collaborative relation with all their vendors. Lastly, the retailer needs to analyze the performance of each vendor so that he can decide if he wants to continue sourcing from that vendor or not. Let us look at this. You can see this is an ongoing process. It is cyclical in nature. That is what we just said in the previous slide. Sourcing is cyclical. It is a never-ending cycle. So we start by identifying the sources for the products that I'm looking at. After which we contact the various sources and evaluate them under a certain set of criteria. After we have evaluated the sources and finalized or shortlisted to a few, then we will start negotiating with them on price, delivery, timelines, terms of contract. After negotiation, we place the order with the source, establish vendor relations, and in the end, we analyze the vendor performance. After the analysis is done and based on the result of the vendor performance, the retailer will go back and start identifying new sources, which means if the vendor is not performing well, then the retailer has to start identifying new sources or alternative sources. This is why we say that the process of sourcing is cyclical in nature. Today, it is the age of global sourcing. Global sourcing strategy allows for the most cost-efficient procurement of raw materials and products. Internet has reduced distances, added flexibility, thereby creating a borderless selection of products. Today, retailers source from various countries. The patakas in Indian Diwali are sourced from China. Who doesn't even know what Diwali is? Global sourcing, height of global sourcing. So, global sourcing offers a wide variety of merchandise to the customer sometimes at very, very reasonable prices. The Chinese crackers are much cheaper than those made in India. Let us look at some advantages of global sourcing. This will explain to us why sourcing is increasingly global. Reduced raw material prices or reduced labor cost. If we think of the US sourcing apparel out of Southeast Asia, be it India, Bangladesh, China, Vietnam, Sri Lanka or Pakistan, it is primarily because of reduced labor cost. Southeast Asia is much cheaper in terms of labor cost than US or Europe. Raw material cost in a lot of cases would be cheaper, and then the retailer sources from those countries. Flexibility in supply could be another reason for sourcing globally. Expand existing merchandise offer. So when the retailer wants to offer variety to its customers, it will go to various other sources, maybe even different countries, to buy a variety of products. Again, taking apparel as an example, we can say if some retailer in the US wants to sell hand embroidered cotton garments, then India is the place to go to. Improved quality. Obviously, if you are buying products from a variety of places, it is more difficult to maintain quality. But if you go to a country that is very good or adept at making that product, then the quality would be much better. Better standards of the product. Sometimes the retailer sources globally because the local supply is reducing or dwindling. So in order to supplement the local supply, they would source from other countries. Very often, a unique product from a different country or a different region is the main reason for global sourcing. How do we go about identifying various sources? The source could be domestic, it could be international. Obviously, there will be some extra cost associated with global sourcing. At the same time, there will be benefits, like we've just discussed in the previous slide. There will be some advantages of global sourcing. So the retailer needs to balance both and see what it is that he wants to do. There will be benefits as well as costs associated with sourcing from international markets. Duties, tariffs, documentation requirements, getting import licenses, foreign currency fluctuation, cost of transportation, the time lags, different languages being used in these different countries. These are some of the costs associated with sourcing from different countries. The retailer should undertake a PESEL analysis of these countries that he is planning to source from. So this means that the retailer should understand the political, economic, socio-cultural, technological and legal aspects of the various countries he is sourcing from. If the country is in a political turmoil, the retailer should not be sourcing from that country. If there is a product category he is sourcing that has some legal implications, again, the retailer should not be sourcing from that country. Various sources of supply. The retailer can select sources of merchandise and interact with them. So who are the various sources? It could be a manufacturer, it could be a wholesaler, it could also be a resident buying office. A manufacturer is obviously the producer, and we are well aware that most retailers do not produce merchandise that they are selling. Also, it is not possible for one retailer to produce all varieties of merchandise that they are selling. Therefore, he will source from different manufacturers. A wholesaler is used when the purchase quantity is small, or when the retailer has to procure merchandise in a variety of categories, which obviously he cannot produce. A resident buying office, which we have discussed in the previous lectures, is one which is representing the buyer in a foreign country. He obviously charges a commission for it. These resident buying offices are useful for sourcing, especially in the early stages. Vendor selection, vendor evaluation, both are extremely important. We will now first understand how the vendor is contacted. So the vendor can be contacted in two ways. It is either it is a retailer initiated contact, which means the retailer or buyer is going out to contact the vendor in a central marketplace. The retailer is reaching out to various possible sources of supply, or it could be a vendor initiated contact, wherein the vendor or his representative may visit the buyer or retailer in their office in order to present their merchandise range. Let us now understand what are the various criteria for selecting a vendor. Obviously, a retailer has to plan his vendors, has to plan how much quantity he is sourcing from each vendor. Because if the quantity being sourced from each vendor is less, then the retailer does not hold much power over that supplier. So a retailer would be happy sourcing bigger order quantities from each supplier so that he can negotiate better prices and better terms and conditions. There are a number of criteria which the retailer is going to think of before he selects the various sources of products. Firstly, the product itself. What is the product? What is the quality of product? Is the vendor able to produce that product at a good quality at the right price? The next is the delivery date. What is the delivery date that the buyer requires for that product? And what are the other terms and conditions of delivery? These are extremely important today, especially since a lot of products are fashion merchandise and they have a very specific selling window. Equipment and facilities of the vendor. What is his production capacity? How much is his production capacity? What is the condition of those equipments? Are they new? Are they functioning well? Are they old? Are they outdated models? Does newer machinery exist for making that product? How flexible are their production systems? Can you change the order quantity somewhere midway? All these things are extremely important while evaluating the customer, the vendor. The processes that the vendor is using or following, what are his quality control programs? Is there enough adequate quality control? What are the working conditions in the setup? Are they using child labor? Are they doing overtime? If yes, how much overtime? What are the rates being paid for overtime? A lot of the international buyers will look into these aspects very closely. Things like child labor or the human conditions in the factories are extremely important for retailers of Europe and US. Adaptability and reliability of the supplier. How reliable is the supplier? What is his image or perception in the market? What is the feedback about that supplier from other buyers? Is he adaptable? Is he going to change based on the requirements of the retailer? Or is he very inflexible? The management capabilities of the supplier. Is the supplier managing his facility well? Is he able to manage the communication flow between the supplier and the buyer? All these are very important aspects while selecting. Obviously, information systems or technology that is being used by the vendor is important. Today, most supply chains work on the ERP system, which is enterprise resource planning, or they have many softwares or management information softwares which will integrate various parts of the supply chain. These information systems will help to integrate various parts of the supply chain to reduce communication gaps, to reduce time lags, and to reduce inventory levels. planning and control systems that are being followed or used by the vendors, the HR compliance and ethics. Are they ethical? Are they using child labor? Are they providing good, clean spaces to their workers? Are they giving overtime to the workers? Are they paying the minimum wages to the workers? These are all various aspects of HR compliance and ethics compliance. Who are the other clients of the supplier? That itself will indicate a lot about the supplier, because if the client base is good, it is an impressive client base, they are supplying to some good retailers, then you know that yes, this supplier is adaptable, flexible, reliable, and has good internal processes. What are the various other extra services provided by the supplier? Is he part of a cooperative advertising program? Is he giving you certain kinds of discounts? Is he giving you some extra communication? What are the various things that the supplier is giving to the retailer? Now we're going to talk about negotiations. Obviously, a lot of negotiations happen between the buyer and the supplier. What are the various key areas of negotiation between a retailer and his suppliers? Let us look at them. First, obviously, the price, based on the volume to be supplied. It is a known fact that if the volume of product is more, the price automatically decreases. Delivery date for the consignment. What is the delivery date that the retailer needs, and what is the delivery date that the supplier can supply the product on? What are the freight terms? Freight, as we know, means transportation of the product. So transporting the product from the place of manufacture to the retailer's store is going to cost. How much will the cost be? Who is bearing that cost? All these things are negotiated between the buyer and the supplier before the placement of an order. Co-op advertising, cooperative advertising, is the vendor's advertising program wherein the retailer can also promote their products. So the vendor is paying for this advertising program and the retailer piggybacks on it. So a very important aspect for the retailer to negotiate. Exclusivity. This means that the supplier cannot sell the same merchandise to any other retailer. So in some cases, especially in fashion products, or the term of exclusivity is extremely crucial for the retailer, because he does not want the style or the product details to be known to the competitors. The discounts that are being offered by the supplier to the retailer is another key area of negotiation between the buyer and the supplier. What are the various types of discounts that a retailer can avail? Trade discounts, cash discount, seasonal discount, and quantity discount. So cash discount is where the buyer is paying a big amount in cash instead of a check and expects a certain discount on it because he is paying in cash. A seasonal discount is when the product is out of season or is being sourced before the start of the season, and then the retailer expects a certain discount on it. A quantity discount is where the quantity or volume of the product being sourced is high, and therefore the retailer expects a certain discount on it. In this segment, we are going to talk about vendor management. Traditionally, the relationship between a buyer and a seller has been a win-lose relationship, which means a competitive relationship. Here, both parties were interested only in their own benefits. Today, the approach to vendor management is to have a collaborative relationship between a vendor and a buyer. The need today is strategic win-win relationships between retailers and their suppliers, wherein both parties are benefiting and both parties are committed to long-term relations. The foundation of such a successful strategic relationship is mutual trust, open communication, common goals, and a lot of commitment to a collaborative approach. We obviously need to evaluate the performance of all our vendors. Suppliers are continually monitored. They are subject to evaluation to ensure that their standards of delivery of product quality do not fall. The evaluation of vendors should be both qualitative as well as quantitative, wherein the vendors are rated on certain key performance areas. Let us look at some of these evaluation criteria. The first is the gross margin contribution, which calculates the total profit generated for each vendor or supplier against the amount spent on purchasing their product from them. Then is the level of customer acceptance. This is the litmus test for the supplier. If the product of a certain supplier is accepted by the customer, obviously the performance of that supplier is great. The merchandise quality impacts the perception and brand image of the retailer. Usually, the quality of a product is equated to the price. Therefore, if the retailer has an image of quality, he can charge a higher price. Therefore, merchandise quality is another important criteria of evaluating the vendor's performance. The delivery date performance. Obviously, time is important, but for fashion products and seasonal products, it is extremely critical that the delivery of the goods is on time. If the fashion product goes out of fashion, or if the seasonal product reaches the store after the season is over, it is of no use. Imagine nobody will buy an umbrella or a raincoat outside of a rainy season. So if it is not in the store on time, it will not sell, which means the vendor loses his profit, the retailer also loses his profit. So delivery date performance is extremely important. Adhering to any policies or systems or processes that a retailer follows is also an important criteria of evaluating the vendor's performance. Again, the various criteria have been listed down here. Gross margin contribution of the vendor to the towards the retailer's gross margin, the level of acceptance by the customer, the quality of merchandise, delivery date performance, and lastly, adhering to the retailer's policies. These are some of the most important criteria of evaluating a vendor's performance. Now we are going to look at some of the methods of retail buying. Needless to say, handling many suppliers is a very massive, complex task. Each supplier could be in a different city, having different terms and conditions, different strategies, different policies, etc. Can be very exhaustive. So, the retailer has to decide what kind of a method of buying he has to follow. He can give a few orders to many suppliers, but that is going to dilute the power of the retailer. If you are sourcing smaller quantity from a supplier, obviously he has more power over you. The retailer cannot negotiate better prices or better terms from that supplier. Therefore, the retailer can pursue either of these two strategies, which are concentration strategy and dispersion strategy. As the names imply, concentration strategy means you have a limited number or a fewer number of suppliers, and it leads to lower costs and preferential treatment of the retailer. So you are concentrating on fewer suppliers but giving more order quantities, more volumes to each of these suppliers. The other strategy is a dispersion strategy, which means that the number of suppliers is more, because you are concentrating If you are concentrating on fewer suppliers, then you are putting all your eggs in one basket. You are increasing your risks. If that one supplier does not perform, then your entire range of that season can be in trouble. So, dispersion strategy is where the retailer uses a bigger or a larger number of suppliers but places smaller order quantities with each of these suppliers. Let us now look at some of the methods of retail buying. One is a regular buying, which involves the systematic issue of a purchase order and reorders. This, the maximum product variety is bought by this method, which means planned in advance what is the assortment to be bought from which vendor, and then you issue a purchase order for each of these styles or product categories. The other one is a consignment buying. Here, the supplier retains ownership of the product. In regular buying, what happens is that once the supplier has given the product to the retailer is the owner of the product. But in a consignment buying, the supplier retains ownership of the products while the retailer sells the merchandise and pays the supplier after deducting a commission. This is done usually when the consignment involves a product of a specific type, a product which is weak, or a retailer which is weak. Memorandum buying is similar to the consignment buying concept, except that the title of the merchandise gets transferred to the retailer after shipping, who is then responsible for the damaging. So the difference between these two is that here in consignment buying, the supplier retains ownership of the product. In memorandum buying, the retailer gets the title of the merchandise. Approval buying. This method enables the retailer to inspect the goods before purchasing them, which means that the retailer is approving the goods before he buys them. So he's actually inspecting the goods and checking their quality, quantity, or any other aspects. Specification buying enables the retailer to procure merchandise that is unique and personalized. So it is specific to their requirements. Forward buying, as the name suggests, forward buying is the practice of buying in advance at a deeply discounted price. So staple products which you know you have to buy, the retailer needs these staple products and the demand is predictable easily, therefore he will use forward buying for that product category, buy the product in advance when it is maybe not in season or when he is getting a better price for that product. Now we are going to discuss various purchase order systems that are related to merchandise buying. So what is a purchase order? It is a legal undertaking. The term legal is extremely important. So a legal undertaking between a buyer and a seller, wherein the buyer commits to pay for the merchandise if the terms of delivery and quality are met. So if all terms of the purchase order are met, then the buyer is committed to pay the supplier. That is why it says the term legal. So the buyer can be dragged to court if he does not pay for the merchandise if all terms of the PO are met. Today, we have auto-generated orders. These are generated automatically. Technological advances have enabled supply chain management via a common EDI system, which is electronic data interchange, where we are using softwares and integrated softwares wherein different entities of the supply chain, the buyer, the seller, the vendors are all integrated and are using the same software. As a result, the software generates a new purchase order whenever the specified minimum inventory level is reached. Let us now briefly look at different types of orders. A regular order is one which is regular, normal. It is planned and then a normal purchase order is raised. A reorder or a repeat is where we order a same or existing style again. So once a regular order has been raised, if we place an additional order of a regular order, it is called a reorder or a repeat. An advance order, as the name suggests, is where an order has been made in advance in anticipation of a particular product. So where we know that we will be needing a particular product for a season, we will order in advance so that we are either getting more lead time to produce that product or we are getting better prices. Back orders. These are orders which are delayed and they have to be backdated. A blanket order is one which does not specify clear-cut details. So it doesn't necessarily specify all styles or quantities. A blanket order is one which is raised essentially so that the supplier can start procuring or making the raw materials, and then details of the style, color, size, etc. are filled in later. Open orders. This is an order which is open, which means the name of the supplier is not written in it. A purchase order obviously needs to have the name of the supplier, the name of the buyer, the price, the quantity, the details of the product on it. But in case the supplier's details are not written on the purchase order, it is called an open order. This means that the supplier is yet to be decided, but the retailer or buyer has raised the purchase order and issued it to his agent or his buying agent in another country, who can then at a later stage decide who is the supplier and enter his name in the purchase order. A special order could be anything. It could be any kind of a variation of a purchase order. Thank you.